Hey, good morning and welcome to Clay Church. My name is Aaron, and I am excited that you've chosen to spend your Sunday morning in worship with me and with all of us gathered from wherever we are. Today, we're going to talk about worship, what it is, why we do it, and why it matters. And as we prepare to talk about worship, I want to encourage you to take just a minute to clear your space, clear your head, and clear away the distractions that might take your attention away from God during the next hour or so. And as we progress through today's service, I want you to think about how you worship God through music, through prayer, through reading, through listening, and through just making yourself available to Him. I do want to ask you to take just a second to fill out a connect card. If you're watching at claychurch.com/live, you can fill out a connect card just to the right of this video. And if you're with us on Facebook Live, I'm going to drop a link down in the comments. You can click that link, fill out your connect card, and share a prayer request with us. And right now, I want to ask you to pray with me. God, we are so thankful for all the work and the time and the effort that has gone into creating this hour of worship. And pray that you would speak through us, speak to us, change us somehow. God, we are yours. And as we focus in for an hour of worship, we also pray that our worship would extend through the rest of this day, through the next weeks and months, and for the rest of our lives. God, we pray all of these things in your name. Amen.
Good morning. Will you join me in the call to worship by reading the portion in bold on the screen? God stretches out the heavens and shapes the earth. Come and give thanks. God raises up the mountains and pours water into the seas. Come and give thanks. God calls forth plants from the soil and forms animals in infinite variety. Come and give thanks. God breathes upon us and fills us with life. Come, lift your voices in praise. God gives our lives meaning through laughter and tears. Come, lift your voices in praise. God touches our hearts through family and friends. Come, lift your voices in praise. God loves us and blesses us with everything good. Come and worship. God loves us and overwhelms us with never-ending generosity. Come and worship. God loves us and surrounds us with love and abundance. Come and worship.
Our King, Alleluia, Amen. Let morning. I'm Pastor Kathy, Associate Pastor of Caring and Community here at Clay Church. As we move into a time of prayer, let's take some time for silence this morning as we awaken our spirits to God's presence. After our silence, I will pray a pastoral prayer, and then please join me in our Lord's Prayer. Almighty God, you are worthy to be praised, O holy, holy Lord God Almighty. May our songs rise to you this morning in pure joy and gratefulness for the goodness that you provide for us, the goodness of your great love, your forgiveness, your grace, your mercy and strength. May we make our lives a living worship of you, always and forever. Lord, in the midst of our praise this morning, we know that we fall short, feel lost, and find ourselves relying on things of this world to satisfy our hearts. Bring us back to the knowledge of our thirst and longing for you as we ask your forgiveness when we drink from the world's wells of division and strife, anger, power, and profit, all of which leave us empty. Move your Holy Spirit within us so that we will drink deeply of your love and care and grace and forgiveness. Still us, God, so that we might listen to you speaking to us, knowing us, seeing us, loving us. Fill us with your living word through music and scripture and message that will transform our hearts and minds and spirits into people that burst forth with life and love for your people, for ourselves, for our community, and for our world. We ask all of these things so that we might offer back to you the worship and praise that you deserve. We pray this morning for the sick, the injured, the vulnerable, and all those undergoing all forms of adversity, that they might be raised up, healed, and made whole, and find their lives in you and your love. We pray for our nation, for our leaders, national, state, world, and community, that they might act with wisdom, justice, and good for all of the world. We pray again for our teachers, our children, our faculty, administrators, youth, young adults, that they might be safe in these times of COVID, and that they will learn and grow in knowledge and character. We pray for the unspoken prayers, even the unknown prayers of our hearts, knowing that your Spirit speaks through the groaning of our souls. We lift all of this up through the power of your Son, Jesus Christ, as we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
I will follow him wherever he may. last week as we confirmed 10 young people in the outdoor service and recognized that confirmation. We said these words together, that as members together with them in the church, that we would faithfully participate in the ministries by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. In this time of offertory today, I just want to invite us to reflect on those words for a moment as we talk a little bit later about worship today. I want to invite us to think about what it means to offer ourselves. What does it mean to you? What does it mean to us to offer our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness? To be honest, right now in the life of Clay Church, in the life of the church in our community, I don't think there's a time that I can remember where it's been more important for us to witness to our faith through our offering. Your gifts, they make a difference. Your witness, it makes a difference. So I just want to invite us today to reflect on that as we listen to the music ahead. I want to invite us today to continue to offer God's blessings. You can do that at claychurch.com/give or through the Clay Church app. I want us to reflect on how God is using us and will use us to make a difference in sharing the life of Jesus Christ when we faithfully serve and respond.
Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me."
I worship you.
One day, a boy came late to his Sunday school class. Knowing that he was usually really prompt, his teacher asked, "Johnny, is there anything wrong?" "No, ma'am, not really," Johnny said. "I was going to go fishing, but my daddy said that I needed to get on up and go to church." The teacher was really impressed, and she said, "Johnny, did your dad explain to you why it's more important to go to church than to go fishing?" "Yes, ma'am, he did," Johnny said. "My daddy said he didn't have enough bait for both of us." Worship is our subject today, and what some, I guess, label is going to church, though we're going to examine that language today and talk about what is worship really and why does worship matter. I, for one, am glad that you are worshiping with me, with us today as Clay Church. For those of you who may be with us for the first time, or those who may not be great at remembering names, I sometimes have that happen in my life. I'm Pastor Brian. For those of you who were fishing on Sunday morning and maybe watching this message later on during the week since it's online, I hope you felt God's presence by the water, and I'm glad you're capturing this message, taking in this message from Sunday now. We just finished a sermon series about the book of Jonah, and for those who heard those sermons, I think you'll see today, even though we're no longer in the book of Jonah, how talking about worship today flows right out of the things that we learned about God and the things that we learned about ourselves from Jonah. Which leads me actually to a couple of things to know. First, our messages are online, and they're always online, both on Facebook and at claychurch.com. So you can always catch up on a series, or you can always take in a message. You can listen if you weren't available on Sunday morning, or if you just want to hear it again, or if you want to share it with others because you think it might speak to them. Please take a look at Facebook or online. And for those who want to dig a little bit deeper, to get a little bit closer to God, we're going to talk about that as we talk about worship today. On our Clay Church app, you can sign up for notifications and receive a daily scripture and a daily question every day to continue to reflect on the message. For those who want Bible study or further thoughts from the sermon, our Clay Circle sermon guides are also available online and on the app, and they allow you to dig in a little further. They provide a little bit more background from the message. You can find those guides anytime. Would you pray with me? Lord, take my lips this day and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. And Lord, take our hearts and set them on fire with your love. Amen. A few months ago, I shared this thought in a sermon. Worship is not a program, it's a posture. Let me say that again. Worship is not a program. It's not just a set of things to do, motions to go through. Worship is a posture. It's a way of being. Specifically, worship is a way of being in God's presence, of acknowledging that God is always with us. At its heart, ultimately, worship is about acknowledging God's presence. It's our response to God's presence. People will often say, "Well, you know, I'm going to church." And what they mean is they're headed to a building to worship on a Sunday morning. But the truth is, we don't go to church. We are the church. The church is the people of God. And a quick aside, this is helpful news to know at a time like this, because it means that the church is never closed. Right? The church can't be closed because the church is us, wherever we are. Right? And then when we're together as the people of the church, when we gather together, we say that we are worshiping, which is true. Right now, virtually together, we are worshiping. But worship as a posture isn't something we should only do for this scheduled hour or so. Right? Worship is a way of life. I've shared before about what the postures of worship are and how they might help us. They might help us understand what it looks like to worship moment by moment in each step of our lives. Let's just take a moment and review those. Right? Let me invite you to just fold your hands and bow your head. If you really want to experience this posture and you're at home, you can also literally kneel down or bow down on the floor. The fancy Greek word for this is proskuneo. Literally means bowing down before one who is greater, as before a king to show allegiance. The Bible, it says in various places, bow down before God. When we bow down, it's like we put ourselves into God's presence, and it's just an act of saying, God, we're here. We need you. We want to give our lives to you. Right? We often think of this as the posture of prayer, which is true, but it's also a posture of worship. Now, let me invite you to lift your hands to God. Put them up and hold them up wherever you are right now. Just put your hands and hold them up. And I know this isn't particularly natural for those of us who've been part of the Methodist church for a long time. And in other churches, you can't walk in without seeing somebody with their hands in the air. But I want you to just do this for a moment. Feel the posture. Because when we put our body into the act, it's like we're giving our whole body to God. And hold them up there. If your hands get tired, just think about Jesus, arms up on the cross for you. Right? This posture is our response. This posture is one of awe and wonder and amazement at what Jesus has done for us. We lift our hands and we say, thank you, God. Thank you for creating us. Thank you for creating all that is. Right? We lift our hands to praise God for all that God is doing that we can see in the world around us and all that God is doing that we can't see. We lift our hands to praise God because we're gifted with a love that is eternal, and that's worth raising our hands and shouting thanksgiving. And when we do this, whenever we lift up our hands, we recognize as we pause how amazing and wonderful God is. An act of worship. Now let me invite you to put your palms up, arms out in front of you. Right? This posture says, here I am, God. Ready to receive what you have to give and ready to share what you have given me. Here I am, God, ready to make the world a better place with the gifts that you have given me. For those who like the fancy Greek words, the word is latreuo. It means rendering a service to one who is greater. Right? This is a posture of giving, of sharing the love we've been given. It's really a posture of servanthood. In this posture, we're reminded that we are called to love God and to love our neighbor. So a posture of prayer and humility, a posture of thanksgiving and praise, a posture of blessing and servanthood. I want to invite you to notice something about all three of these postures. None of them are limited to things that we can only do in the hour that we're together on Sunday morning. Right? These are postures, all three of them, that we can take at any moment of our lives. Now, yeah, don't get me wrong. If you like bow down on the floor in the middle of the workplace, people are probably going to look at you a bit strangely, or if you just put your hands out in front of you while you're in a meeting, people are going to wonder what on earth is going on. But think about it for a moment. What if they do? Like, maybe that's the moment when you could witness to those around you at school or at work when they see you and they're like, what is he doing? What is she doing? And you can say, do you know what? I'm doing this because I needed a moment with God. I needed a moment to know that God grants me the patience that I need, grants me the hope that I need, grants me the love that I need for any particular moment. Worship reminds us moment by moment of God's presence in our lives. Moment by moment that God is with us. And when we're willing to worship, we can invite others wherever we are into that space as well. Because worship, it connects us to God's presence. And when we're connected to God's presence, we're able to share God's presence with others. So why? Why worship? Like, why does worship matter so much? Why does worship matter enough that Pastor Brian is giving the second sermon on this in a matter of months? We see, I think sometimes people will say, well, God needs us to worship, but God doesn't need us to worship in order to show up. Right? God is always and everywhere present. We believe that. So we don't need to worship for God to somehow magically appear. God is already there. God is already here. No, instead, the Bible says that God delights in the worship of God's people. And when you dig into that in the biblical witness, you begin to find that God delights in the worship of God's people, because when God's people worship, when we worship, we grow in our faith. We grow in our relationship with God. And God loves God's relationship with us. When we worship, we grow in the love and the joy and the hope and the peace that God wants for us. We need worship. That's why we worship. We might think of worship. I want to just give an analogy today to think about this. Think about worship as the key to reading a map. Right? The map is God's kingdom, God's reign. And this map, if we learn how to read it, this map is going to show us where God is, just really everywhere. This map is going to show us where we are. Map will show us where others are and how God wants us to make connections. God has it all laid out, this plan that God has for God's kingdom. And so often people are like, I don't know what God's plan is for me, or I don't know what God's plan is for the world. Worship is like the key to unlock the map that shows us God's plan for our lives and the world. When we worship, we see the map more clearly. We come to understand just where we are and where others are and how God wants us to reach others. And if worship is like the key to unlocking the map that God has for God's people, for God's kingdom to come for us, then Psalm 95, I want to invite us to take a look at Psalm 95 today, because it's like the guide to that map, sort of like the key to the map, Psalm 95. And the psalm has three parts, and each of the parts come with a leading instruction or command. So Psalm 95, starting at verse 1, "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great king above all gods, and his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land." Right, the first guide to this map is recognize that everything comes from God and that God is everywhere. God created all that is. And in that act of thanksgiving and praise, you'll begin to see what God is doing. You'll begin to see where God is showing up for you. The second instruction or command in Psalm 95 is in verse 6. "Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care." Right, the second part of this guide, of this key, is to recognize that you need God. And in that need, come to see where you are in life. To name the blessings and the gifts and to name the sins and where you fall short. And in all of that, just recognize that God is there. God has a purpose for you, a place on the map for you, a place for you to go. Psalm 95 continues. It's in the second half of verse 7. The English doesn't translate it very well as a command, but there's one more command here. It says, "Today, if only you would hear his voice." It's a command to hear God's voice. "Do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massah in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested me. They tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, they are people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared an oath in my anger. They shall never enter my rest." The third instruction, the third guide for our map, for our worship, is to listen for God's word in your life, for God to speak. Right, the psalmist actually reflects on what happens when we don't. Not just God's judgment, although that's a part of the statement, but the fact that this group of people, they didn't know the peace that God wanted for them. They didn't know the hope that God wanted for them because they didn't stop and listen. They turned away. So how do we listen for God? Well, we listen in prayer. We listen in sermons. We listen in studying together. We listen in spiritual conversation. And as we listen, God begins to reveal the path that God has for your life, the path to fulfillment and joy and peace and love. And note that listening can happen individually. Right? I mean, we know that in prayer, God can speak to us. But not only alone. When we listen for God alone, it's too easy for us to let our own voice become God's voice, or to let God's voice be drowned out by the voices of culture. But together, when we worship together, when we hear God's word together, when we process together, we begin to distinguish God's voice from our own voice. We begin to distinguish God's voice from the voices of culture around us. So can you worship by yourself? Or anybody who's had a moment on a mountain or by the sea, a moment of peace and goodness, for anyone who's had a moment while they watched a sunset, for anybody who's had a moment while they're reading their Bible by themselves, they know absolutely we can worship alone. But not only alone. We worship with others when we read and study the Bible together. We worship with others when we gather, like we're gathered today, even virtually, to dig into God's Word and see what God's Word speaks to us. At the heart of today, you might notice. You might notice that sometimes we misunderstand what worship is. Sometimes the world misdefines what worship really is. So today we're invited to take notice. Worship is not how much you like or you don't like the music. Worship is not about how good the message is. Worship is not about who's there or who isn't there at any given gathering. The power of worship, in all honesty, isn't based on only your experience. Worship is about God and our relationship, and your relationship, and my relationship with God. Worship is about placing yourself in God's presence in each and every moment. Worship is about giving your life to God in love and service. Worship is about seeing and then following God's path for your life and our lives corporately as the church. Worship is letting God be with you moment by moment, guiding your life that you may abide in God's love. Worship isn't a set of steps that we go through. Worship is a posture. A posture that places us moment by moment in God's presence. A posture that gives thanks to God for all that is and recognizes our need for God. A posture that gives our lives to God and allows God's love and mercy to flow through us as God's servants. Would you pray with me? God, may these moments of worship virtually together today be a reminder that we're invited to know that you are with us in each and every step that we take. God, remind us in those moments when we feel alone, in those moments when we feel stressed, in those moments when we're sad or grieving, and in those moments when we're joyful, to put our hands together, to lift them up, to put them out, and be reminded that your love is always with us, and we're invited to walk with more people and share it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Almighty, early in the morning.
Before we move to our covenant and benediction today, I just want to offer an invitation. Take a look at the email that came out this week, or take a look at the website, because there are some exciting things coming up. We have special guests next Sunday, and you're going to have an opportunity to connect with our missionaries from Mission on the Move, and we're excited about that. Our Second Half Adventures has something coming up, and our youth and children have a fantastic opportunity to connect as the school year is starting this fall as well. I know it's felt like not a lot is happening in the world, but this fall we have some exciting things coming. So take a look at opportunities to connect again as the church. I know so many of us are looking for those opportunities, and I'm excited that we are offering them and excited for you to join us. Would you join me now in this Our Clay Covenant? You'll find the words, your words on the screen. I will pursue the faithful life, reaching up to God each day, reaching out to serve someone this week, and reaching one more person with the love of God. Now may you go in the love of God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. May you know that God is always present, always with you. May you worship the Lord your God in each and every step you take and experience his grace and his love and his hope and his peace in each and every moment. And moment by moment, may you share that good news with your families, your neighborhoods, your community, and your world. Amen.